This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, that'd be me. Thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, December 5th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app. On demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds, we appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. When was the last time we've heard a day-long wind howling like that yesterday? And it's only barely starting to abate in some parts of Wisconsin, but it was just, that was brutal. For something that had so little snow, and we're not below zero or anything, but that clipper was really something. In fact, let me check the temperatures here at the bus stop, because again, it's 13 here in Chippewa Falls, but the wind chill is well below zero, single digits, in some places double digits below zero. So please make sure every bit of skin has some covering up when you send the kids out for the bus or when you head out to work today. It's 13 here on Lake Wissota, 13 in Hayward, 12 in Wausau, 12 in La Crosse, 12 in Amory. Wisconsin Rapids is at 11 degrees right now. Let's see, it's Madison's at 16. Waukesha is the cold spot at 9 degrees right now. And it's 13 degrees at Radio Park in Racine, where we will check in with Greg Bach in just a bit. Coming up on the program first, though, it's Thursday, so we will have political strategist Joe Zepecki here. You know, there were concerns, we talked about them on the show Tuesday with Hans Breitenmoser, about Act 10 being overturned by a Dane County court. And concern that that's going to overshadow the issues in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So we're going to talk to Joe about that. Joe is not nearly as bothered by the possibility that Act 10 issues will be brought up in the Supreme Court campaign, because it's frankly just never a bad thing to be focusing on workers' rights. We're also going to read an essay from a friend of the show who wrote a column about President Biden's pardon of his son Hunter and how it gives us all a lesson in the power of grace to help others who are struggling with addiction. In our second hour, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob a day early. And I'll tell you ahead of time, the reason Mark is visiting with us today is that tomorrow at 7:30, we will instead be visiting with Congressman Mark Pocan. So Mark Jacob was kind enough to move up a day. We already knew that things were changing at the liberal cable channel MSNBC after Trump's win. It appears to be getting worse, and we'll talk to Mark about the latest example of that. And then we'll talk to Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care. We've talked to Joe Zepecki about Protect Our Care in the past from a Wisconsin standpoint. Brad Woodhouse will speak from a national standpoint out in Washington, because it's not just Robert Kennedy Jr. who is taking risks with America's public health. Donald Trump is surrounding himself with people whose questionable to extreme positions on healthcare matters constitutes a clear threat to our collective health, not to mention what'll happen if Trump is in charge if another pandemic develops. We'll get the forecast from Brittany Merlot. We'll visit with Luke Mathers as well. And of course, I teased it. I can't make him wait too long. Of course, Greg Bach is here as well. Mr. Bach is in long sleeves. Winter has arrived, ladies and gentlemen, like the swallows returning to Capistrano. When the long sleeve sweaters return to Greg Bach, you know it is finally winter. Mr. Bach, good morning. Are you chilly? I'm gonna take that as a yes.
This is so mean.
The wind, the
yes,
weather.
Yes. Yes. Just
it is
so mean.
It's gross. It's not the least bit kind. And you know, it is. I was looking to see what did Tony. Tony's like, oh, it feels like 4 degrees up here in Ashland. Yes, it does. And he says, Greg, smoothest voice in Radio Bach. Are you up for one of those awards? By the way, I think.
Why, thank you.
I was going to promote the Volume 1 voting thing. I think that might be all done now, but appreciate everybody's support there.
I wish I could.
Alicia writes in on YouTube. Whoa, Greg, I feel ya. Yeah.
If you're watching the live stream right now, my hands are in my pockets because I'm still very cold, and it was cold in the studio yesterday, and I wish I could control the show from like in my pockets because I just don't want to take them out.
Wouldn't it be, we could get like a little Nintendo or Game Boy, some kind of little controller, and just put everything in those little buttons, and then you put it in that middle pocket in your hoodie. And then you just control the show that way. And you never have to expose your hands to the cold. I had to close pretty much all the curtains around the house yesterday. And our house isn't like some drafty old thing.
Yeah.
The wind was just blowing that hard.
Yep.
That closing the curtains was the appropriate thing to do.
It was so cold yesterday at our home that the windows were so cold that they were providing like a cold air. I'm like, these are like pretty new windows. These are like energy efficient. I'm like, oh, it's just so cold.
Yes, it's just that bad. Tony writes in a neural implant for Greg so you can control the show with your mind.
Yes. Welcome to Up North News Radio.
we'll refer to him as Professor G. Oh, boy. 855-75-CIVIC if you have input on how Greg can stay warm. Campfire in the studio is not recommended. Yes, please. You can call that number. You can text it. You can use the Civic Media app as well to call or text us. You can also email us. We have an email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And we were talking about Christmas cards, and I'll just say, hey, if you want to send us a Christmas card, we'll take it. Yeah. P.O. Box 27. Chippewa Falls 54729. I'd love to see who sends, you know, Christmas cards our way. That would be kind of neat.
I know how they assign PO boxes, but it's so quaint, Up North News Radio style here. PO Box 27.
Just PO Box 27 here. And you know, when I first moved here nearly 30 years ago, it wasn't a street name. You delivered the mail to Rural Route 5, Box 387 or something like that. I would love to bring that back. That'd be the perfect thing for Up North News. Send it to Rural Route 5, general delivery.
Hello, operator. Get me Klondike 7842. I got to get through.
Right. The Green Bay Packers played tonight, hence the green and gold flannel is on this morning here, getting ready for a game against the Detroit Lions.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be a real test, and I am not going to get overconfident, but I'm also... You know, I refuse to be a Debbie Downer here and say, oh, Detroit, it's just their year. It's going to be ugly. No, we could do this.
Wait, a Debbie Downer?
Yeah, Debbie Downer, exactly. If you'd like to catch the game here across the Civic Media Radio Network, then you should tune in to WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, or WCQM in Park Falls. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock. The game is just after 7 on Amazon Prime, then a couple of stations in Wisconsin that are part of the Packer TV network. But otherwise, a whole lot of folks are going to be out of luck when they go looking for the game and say that, you know, if you're not paying Jeff Bezos for Prime, you're not going to see the game. Tony also writes, and I have to say that it's my oldest kid's birthday today. Happy birthday. Sydney is 5 years old today.
You have to say, Tony, like Sydney sitting there going,
you have to say so.
Make a comment, Father. Make a comment. It's my day. And I have to say to Sydney.
Tony has kids?
I didn't know that. Tony, I want you to tell Sydney something from Professor G. Tell Sydney December babies are the best babies.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It's very true.
I know. Got a note from Dr. Kristen Lyerly yesterday. She's back from her birthday weekend celebration and was ecstatic that she got to watch the Yacht Rock documentary with a close friend on her birthday. And here she was like, it was like she was about to recommend it to me. And I'm like, you didn't think I saw this thing already?
Twice?
I'm up to speed. It's okay. You know, glad you liked it as well. You know, so if folks haven't seen that yet, you know, by all means, head over to the Max app. Max. Why couldn't you just call it HBO? That's what we know.
I don't know. I like it. Seriously. Like, I hate calling it Max. That sounds, I don't know, dirty. Like I'm going to go watch this on Max. Ew.
Well, yeah, because Cinemax, you know, their other channel.
Yeah,
what was its nickname for many years?
Skinemax.
I like how we both knew that, not embarrassed at all.
I've heard. I just think it's funny. Dr. Lyerly's watching. She's like, I watched it with a friend. Knowing Dr. Lyerly and the trajectory of her life and all the things she's accomplished, I would not have been surprised had that sentence ended with, I watched it with my friend. He was Michael the keyboardist McDonald. Of Toto. Like that sort of thing. Like, of course you did.
Yes. But, you know, we shouldn't tease her about this because she probably does have a connection that she's holding back on. So we'll find out when she's back here on Monday. Right. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, some ideas for gifts again, some independent bookstores that have great holiday shopping in them, and also more about books that you can get, including a fun children's book with the title Wedge, Cheese Wedge, following a special agent who goes undercover as a small-town dairy farmer to save the community from mayhem. Learn about that and other gift ideas in the daily newsletter. Head over to that at upnorthnewswi.com. Not much else really new in sports here, so just a couple of things to tell you about coming up. The Badger men's basketball team plays Marquette on Saturday. Coverage begins at 11:30 Saturday morning. You can hear it on the Civic Media app and on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Badger women's basketball team will host Rutgers on Sunday with coverage on some of those aforementioned radio stations on Sunday afternoon. The Badger men's hockey team, you can hear them play Michigan State Friday and Saturday evenings. Coverage begins at 5:30 both evenings on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And you can catch all kinds of high school sports on the Civic Media app. Some stations on the app have multiple feeds so that you can give a listen to all the various games that are being covered out there. And I mentioned yesterday the story about all the layoffs, and things have really snowballed since then in terms of the public finding out and frankly being very upset at all the layoffs at WQOW in Eau Claire, WKOW in La Crosse, WAOW in Wausau. And a couple of those folks have posted on social media that they appreciate the outpouring and are sad they didn't get to say goodbye, but they understand that that's the nature of the business. But your kind words and words of expression were definitely noted by some of those folks who find themselves on the market in a tough media landscape. We'll have more coming up right after this. You're Up North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We're going to be talking about Little Richard in today's history lesson coming up in a half hour. It's a nice way to get the blood pumping, get the coffee flowing on this Thursday morning, December 5th on Up North News Radio. This next topic is a slightly awkward to get into. It's about the murder of the United Health CEO, what appeared to be basically a targeted, you know, assassination on a sidewalk in Midtown Manhattan. And the reason, Greg, it's awkward is, I mean, this is a person who was gunned down. We don't know why. And there, you know, the speculation ranges everywhere from something personal to something related to patient outcome or medical bills. United Health had been targeted by ransomware gangs and everything else. We just don't know. And yet, in what is clearly a sign of frustration with American healthcare, Maybe the first time or two people tried to make, you know, kind of a little joke about it. People were like, oh no, don't do that. Oh no, it was, I'm not going to say a tidal wave, but you could tell people's frustrations with health insurance companies denying coverage really came out in their reaction to the murder of the CEO of one of the largest health insurance companies out there.
Yeah.
And I can't square that circle. I'm merely here to say it looks awkward out there, but to see that many jokes, if you will, is a sign of the frustration of the times that we live in these days.
I'm not proud of this, and I didn't do it or say it, but last night at our open mic, someone just said it. They're like, so, like, I don't even like saying it out loud. It just feels like, because I don't want to set up for a joke, because everyone was, they were clapping and like, yeah. And I was just like, and they all died down. And you just heard me in the back go, he was a human. Like, well, I understand yes. The frustration. I understand why people, I understand the mainstream of thinking it's funny or clapping for it or whatever. But I, at the end of the day, for me personally, I'm like, he's still a human. He was a human. And I'm not going to clap for that. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I mean, here would be, I'm trying to look for a rather tame example.
Yeah.
Somebody writes, you know, all jokes aside, it's weird to see so many people up here celebrating murder. No one here is the judge of who deserves to live or die. That's the job of the algorithm that the insurance companies designed to maximize profits on your health and nobody else. And again, it's a sign of the frustration that's in there, that something that should be seen as troubling or almost alarming. And yet, Greg, it takes us to our next story.
That's what we call a segue.
About Blue Cross and Blue Shield out in New York and Connecticut, saying that anyone with one of their health insurance plans will soon have to pay out of pocket for anesthesia if a surgery goes longer than expected. They're putting a time limit, a meter, like in a cab or something, on surgery. And if it goes longer than the insurance company thinks that it should go, they're not going to pay for it. And again, back to Dr. Lyerley, she puts this up with a note. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You know, and again, having a wife who is a surgeon, it's like, is she supposed to get on the phone halfway through and go, oh, you know, this procedure is taking a little bit longer. And they'll be like, nope, cut off the anesthesia or they're paying for it. And you get the frustration.
Well, and that's the thing is like for those people who, I mean, like, I understand why people would clap and laugh. I understand the knee jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. But to the insurance company who might be like, you know, we've lost our leader. But it's like things like this is why people laugh and clap. This is why people don't see this man as a human anymore. They see him as the representative of an evil corporation.
Of something that is downright inhuman.
Exactly.
And inhumane in the way they treat people.
Yeah.
So it was the segue from one to the other, and you see where people's frustrations are. Let me share just a few excerpts of a column written by our friend Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. And Motherhood for Good they were here every Thursday. They're on a break post-election. We hope to talk to them again soon. I didn't want to put Kate in the awkward position if she didn't want to, of reading the column in her own words. But the column is titled, Why I'm Grateful President Biden Pardoned His Son. And she talks about rocking her 7-month-old to sleep, and that once she started looking at her phone and hearing about Joe Biden pardoning his son Hunter, she felt a lump in her throat immediately, and didn't want to get into the right and wrong of it from a political perspective, but admiring the president for his unconditional love in the face of addiction. Kate writes, I got sober in 2017, and everything good in my life exists because of it. It was without a doubt the hardest thing I've ever done. It's also the thing that I'm most proud of. Hunter Biden's journey is not unlike many others who battle addiction. His public struggles have been scrutinized, politicized, and weaponized in ways that most of us who have walked this road can barely imagine. But most importantly, Hunter is a person, a dad, a son, a human being who deserves the opportunity to rebuild his life. President Biden has been open about his love and pride for Hunter, even amid all of the public scrutiny. That kind of unwavering support does make all the difference for someone who's trying to claw their way out of hell. I was lucky to have people in my corner, Kate writes, who stood by me and believed in me, even when I couldn't find a single reason for them to. For me, compassion and understanding unlocked something in me that disappointment and shame couldn't reach. For too long, addiction has been seen as a moral failing, rather than the chronic disease and societal crisis that it is. Many people who misuse substances are at their core trying to fix a deeply painful personal feeling. And it is a physiological response to pain. Hunter Biden has clearly endured more than most, losing his mother and sister at a car crash at a young age, then his remaining brother and best friend to brain cancer as an adult. I believe anyone who makes mistakes needs to take responsibility for their actions, but he has long since apologized for the hurt that he caused and settled his debts. Society wants to put people into two neat piles, those who can drink normally and those who can't and are seen as weak. And this binary way of thinking is unfortunate and an inaccurate way to describe the problem. She goes on to write about how deeply personal this is for the Biden family, but that Joe Biden's public show of love and forgiveness sparks a larger conversation about addiction. She thinks about all the work that others need and the empathy that they need, but is also happy that this acknowledges Hunter Biden's humanity and his dad's as well. And I will simply close with a personal note saying that if you're still going on about Hunter Biden while defending Trump's defense secretary nominee, Mr. Hegseth, from his drinking, you need to rethink your approach to things. Joe Zepecki is next.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, we're back now at 6:34, and here's somebody we haven't seen for a little while between post-election vacations and turkey holidays and things like that. It's Joe Zepecki back here on a Thursday.
I'm back.
Yes, the Pundit Protection Program. How have you been? You had an island vacation since we spoke last. I had my time off. Are we back into a new normal yet? Because I'm not feeling it.
No, not into a new normal. Okay. It's been too weird with, you know, immediate post-election crush and then trips that were much needed and hopefully at least a little bit deserved. And then holidays and short weeks again. And so it's just a weird moment. I'm trying to do a lot of reflection and learning and listening more than I'm talking, which, you know, here I am to talk on a program with you, my friend. But
yeah, but you've been listening for a while. So now you're ready to talk. And look, to a degree, what you and I missed, but I wouldn't even argue that we missed it, but what we missed taking part in was all the navel gazing, all of the, you know, the second guessing and everything else. I have instead spent most of my recent time, you know, correcting things like when I see a, you know, copy that comes in that says, you know, the Democrats' major losses. And it's like, no, they weren't major. They were close losses. They had major impact. Of course, yeah. It hurts not to win the White House or Congress, but the margins were so minimal, and yet Democrats have felt so demoralized that I think they're almost as guilty as the Trump folks in framing these as major losses, when the fact of the matter is this country and this state are still about as 50-50 as it gets on the issues.
Yeah, the idea that 250,000 votes across three battleground states in a nation of 330-some million people will determine who's in the White House, or that 7,500 votes across two or three congressional contests will determine control of the United States House of Representatives. That's just crazy, right? I mean, this is a 50-50 country. The divisions and the polarizations that were here a month ago remain today. And among the things I've been thinking about is, what could Kamala Harris have done differently? Mm-hmm. And the short answer is, I don't think it was her fault.
No.
Could she have done some things differently? Absolutely. But she ran a pretty good race. I don't think it was perfect, but I think it was really, really good. I don't think what happened was her fault. I think we ended up in a much better position, not just nationally, but here in Wisconsin, with her at the top of the ticket. So I'm not here for the dunk on Kamala Harris conversation. No. I'm also not here for the burn it all down and start over. The Democratic Party is lost forever. No, it's not. We've been here before. We are a polarized, deeply divided country. The things that we care about and that we fight for are the things we're going to continue to care about and fight for. Doesn't mean we can't learn and can't improve. And one of the things that I've been reflecting on the most was a take I'm stealing from a friend of mine in Chicago who said, you know, in retrospect, perhaps it was a bit silly to believe that it was a winnable race when 72% of Americans think we're off on the wrong track and an incumbent Democratic president has an approval rating in the 30s. Maybe it was just silly. And so if you start from there, certainly we can improve. Certainly we need to do a better job meeting the electorate where they are. But that doesn't mean that all is lost or that the road to building power in pursuit of solving problems for the American people, doing the job of government, which is not to do everything, by the way, but there are things that it needs to do, and when it and it should be able to do those things well. That work starts, right? And maybe people like me are still not totally sure what the new normal feels like and what the patterns of that are going to be. But I'll tell you this, by January 1, I'm going to have it figured out, and we're going to be back in the fight.
It's good. It's good. It's good to have deadlines. That's good. Look, I haven't really come off of my basic position on this, in that there's very little that we should be talking about in terms of short-term strategies. This is a year-round thing that progressives need to do a better job of, so that when candidates come up, they're not starting from scratch.
Yeah.
In the whole notion of, you know, we should stand up for workers. Taxes are good, but should be affordable because they, you know, government services are good. We want our kids to be educated. We want our water to be clean. But it's as long as you're always running against a cut taxes, cut regulations, cut taxes, cut regulations, just a message like that, even though it offers nothing, if you're not offering something in return to talk about the benefits that come from society, you know, gathering its resources and taking care of others, well, then you're going to have losses like this. And that takes me to Act 10. And specifically, I want to shout out to Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner, has a really nice editorial column about this, and notes that, for example, union support by the general public is so much higher than it was back in 2009, 2010, and of course, 2011, when Scott Walker, you know, dropped the bomb. Since that time, you know, Walker has been defeated. Progressives have taken control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Certainly Tammy Baldwin was elected. Tim Walz had a rather populist message as well. Some will say that, you know, the ticket started playing it too safe after a while, but it just seems to me, Joe, that some folks are right in that if you just keep coming back to being the party and being the group that stands up for workers and working families, that's a good start.
Yeah, it's just not sufficient to only fight for the policies. You also have to make sure people know that you're fighting for them. And that's where I think the learnings come from. And I think a lot of it has to do with just sort of the mood. I don't think it's appropriate or right to say it's a criticism of Kamala Harris being a joyful warrior. It's just a fact. She is a joyful warrior. And most people who are working in this country are not feeling very joyful. And so you had a mismatch of the mood between a really important message that Kamala Harris was carrying about fighting for the middle class, about providing opportunity for those willing to do the work to work their way into the middle class. But to do it as a joyful warrior, as opposed to someone who can credibly channel the anger that so many Americans feel over the fact that the old deal that, you know, my uncle could graduate high school, go get a job at the foundry, and 35 years later, walk out with a watch, a handshake, and a pension does not exist anymore. That did not happen by accident, and it did not happen because of Democrats. It happened because of wannabe oligarchs and the uber wealthy who tried to squeeze and wring every last nickel out of workers that they could, and all in the pursuit of profit and growth. And so if you want to be mad, that's who you should be mad at. And it's okay to be mad about that. And I'm not sure that Kamala Harris was the right messenger for that particular reality.
No, perhaps not. But as the vice president at the time, she should have basically been doing, rather than putting distance between, you know, the administration's record, is there should have been much more trumpeting of what they were getting done as they were getting it done. Because right now, all the things that Democrats got done in, you know, 2021, 2022, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the CHIPS and Science Act, all those things were done by Democrats. Donald Trump now gets to go to all the ribbon cuttings and take credit that he does not deserve, because there won't be signs up now saying, you know, the Biden-Harris administration did this. The time for them to do that was while they were doing it. Don't just pass good policy, but, you know, make sure everybody knows what you got done. And there just wasn't enough of that. I don't feel.
I agree wholeheartedly. And you know, Kamala Harris is a far better messenger than Joe Biden was. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden was not able to effectively wage what you have to do right now, which is an all-the-time campaign. I know that it makes people crazy, this notion of a permanent campaign, but it's the only way, folks. You can no longer segregate out the times of, now it's time to govern. Now it's time to run for office on the things we govern on. No, it just doesn't work. It's not the way the information environment work. It's not the way that people process information. It's not the way that narratives and stories are told. You can't do it. We got to be in this all the time. That's the only way through and to take back some power in the midterms and beyond.
It was, you know, you can blame whoever you want. I take it to Newt Gingrich with apologies to Glengarry Glenn Ross. But, you know, A, always, B, C, campaigning, always be campaigning. And that's exactly what, you know, Republicans started doing. And, you know, there isn't that time to govern. Your point is, you know, so very definitely spot on that this is the world that we live in now. Yeah. So now we've got to look.
Just be clear. I'm not suggesting that governing isn't important. It is.
No,
you just have to marry those governing impacts and wins with telling the story before, during, and after over and over again.
Right. So now, of course, we're done looking backwards because it's time to look ahead already at what will be what was already going to be a big state Supreme Court race today is now that April 1st election, given the Act 10 decision earlier this week, is going to be huge. As much as the Act 10 decision is a net positive, now this state Supreme Court race is going to basically be an Act 10 fight. And so is the next governor's race in 2026. And look, I get that you have to play the cards that you're dealt. Whatever we were saying about the Supreme Court race before this week, now we have to admit it's going to look a little bit different now that Act 10 is back in front of us again, and all the, you know, the Republicans get to put the big bad teachers and the big bad unions, you know, back up there on, you know, on their target list.
Yeah, and let's have the fight is my initial reaction to this, because we've never gone back and litigated whether Act 10 actually did what it was supposed to do. Spoiler alert, it did not, right? Scott Walker never created 250,000 jobs. When he left office, he was ranked 34th in the country in new job growth. He didn't even get there by the end of his second term, by the way. Did municipalities the state over suddenly find themselves flush with cash and able to support infrastructure projects and fill, you know, potholes and support public schools. No, we needed a federal infrastructure program to bring money to Wisconsin to do that. We needed, you know, every other school district in the state, it would seem, to go to referendum every other year to make up for the lack of funding. So all of the promises that were made around Act 10, they did not work. They did not do what they were supposed to do. And so I think we got to head towards this fight and have this fight, because it is Republicans who say crazy things like, well, we should look at every government program every 5 years and see if it works and if we should continue it, whether that's Social Security or Medicare, which, by the way, are programs that work. Doesn't mean like Medicare can't be improved. Joe Biden proved that it can. But if Republicans want to talk that talk, let's make them own it, right? Let's. What did Act 10 do that today we are benefiting from? We have a hollowed out middle class. We have people who feel like the price of everything is increasing and their wages haven't kept up with it. Well, then what the hell was the point of all this? Because governments are still strapped. Workers are still feeling down. It was division for division's sake, and it didn't actually do what it was intended to do. I welcome that conversation.
And by the way, one extra wrinkle to it is that the progressive candidate in the court race, Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, who worked in the Jim Doyle administration and has worked for Planned Parenthood, and by the way, was in court on behalf of unions trying to overturn Act 10. So it was going to get brought up anyway.
Yeah.
And now I think Judge Crawford has maybe a stronger hand to play, that she doesn't have to just tiptoe around it. She can say, hell yeah, this is what I did, and here's what Brad Schimmel would do if Scott Walker's old attorney general got on the state Supreme Court.
Let's do it. We unions are popular. We know that the anger ought to be directed at bosses and managers and the CEOs who are making decisions and not at workers. People want workers to be able to collectively bargain, to form together, to use their power to make sure that they can get paid an honest day's wage for an honest day's work, get some benefits, and let's have that conversation.
Joseph Pecky, good to connect again. Have a
I
great
feel
day.
Better already. Later. Thanks, Pat.
I know. All right, we'll be back after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
The Beach Boys album, called the Beach Boys Concert Album, hit number one on this day 60 years ago, 1964, for the first of 4 weeks. It would be atop of the charts for the rest of December. Not your classic Christmas album, but the Beach Boys were kind of a big deal back then. This is today's history lesson for this December 5th, and it was on December 5th, 1933, that the 21st Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. What is the 21st Amendment, you say? Mr. Bach has his hand up.
The 21st Amendment is the repealing of the 19th Amendment, which outlawed, or 18th
Gave
Amendment.
Women the right to vote? Sorry. Do we repeal the right to vote for women?
Hey, the 18th Amendment passed in 1920, and the repealing of the 18th Amendment started with one man, one senator from Wisconsin.
Amen. Yes, it did. And Wisconsin was very, very early to ratify it. It took a little while to get enough states to ratify it, but it happened on this day in 1933, ending Prohibition. You heard from him earlier. Here he is again. Little Richard Wayne Penniman, born this day in 1932. Gonna tell Aunt Mary about Uncle John. He claimed he has a misery, but he's having a lot of fun. Oh, Long Tall Sally there from Little Richard, who passed away in 2020. Born this day in 1901, Walt Disney, who passed away in 1966. Got another birthday for you. Canadian pop singer-songwriter Andy Kim is 78. I guess it's fair to call him a one-hit wonder for this 70s hit.
Rock me gently.
Once again, Pat's got his roller skates on over at Wooddale in Woodbury, Minnesota, skating round and round. Alicia writes in on YouTube, Friday fish fries came as a result of prohibition because Wisconsinites hate being told we can't drink. Okay, so we did the fish fries.
So we're just going to eat our anger.
We would never do that in this state here. Hey, happy birthday to Christian Yelich, 33 years old today, born this day in 1991. Happy 77th birthday to Jim Messina. You might remember him from Poco or Buffalo Springfield. Who are we kidding? You remember him from Loggins and Messina. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Jim Messina was apparently more of a behind-the-scenes guy, a musician, and producer and all of that. But he did so much work and did it so well that Kenny Loggins was like, no, we have to have equal billing on this. For the few years that they were together, they sold millions of records before Kenny Loggins wanted to go off on his own. The rest is yacht rock history. That's it. I only get two maximum message mentions of yacht rock each hour. So I'm done for now.
I'm sorry. Whose name is on the show title?
Up North News is. Yeah.
Yeah, and Dr. Up North News said, make as many references as you want. That's a message that just came in.
Lord knows I'm capable of it. You've heard of Christie's auctions in London. Mm-hmm. The auctioneer's name was James Christie, and he held his first sale this day in London in 1766.
Wow.
If you are part of Phi Beta Kappa, the oldest academic honor society in the U.S., happy anniversary. They held their first meeting this day in 1776 at the College of William and Mary. On this day in 2012, Alicia Keys scored her fifth number one Billboard album with Girl on Fire. She's
just a girl and she's on fire. My apologies. That came in way too late.
That's all right. The California Gold Rush was kind of made official on this day in 1848 when President James Polk confirmed in a message to Congress that large amounts of gold had been discovered in California. Happy anniversary to the AFL-CIO, the American Federation of Labor, and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to form the group this day in 1955. This is National Blue Jeans Day. This is National Repeal Day about Prohibition. This is Walt Disney Day, of course. It's Inclusive Schools Day. It's International Ninja Day. I feel like we should have been dressed up better for the occasion.
I feel like you shouldn't see me right now. I feel like I should be under the desk or something.
Well, I think if we're kind of more in the frame of mind of being dressed up for the other thing on the calendar today, which is Krampusnacht.
Oh, Krampusnacht.
Yes, which wasn't it last year at this time? Were you the one telling me all about it, that you're much more familiar with this holiday than I am?
Oh, yeah. I went to a Krampusnacht festival in Bloomington, Indiana years ago. It's amazing. People have the most ornate, beautiful costumes.
I recall being, just amazed that we have this thing celebrating, like, being naughty to kids or scaring the kids or something like that.
Hitting them in the ankles with a broom. And if they're really naughty, you eat them.
Okay. Yeah. It certainly has an appeal to some people, and it's celebrated today. Greg, you know one of the things I like about you?
What's that, Pat?
Is your sense of improv.
Oh, okay.
There's no topic I can't throw at you that you can't react to.
Okay.
And this was only – it's actually not that big. I like to make the point that if I throw something out of thin air, Greg, Bitcoin has now topped the $100,000 mark. One Bitcoin is worth $100,000. This is something that at the start of the pandemic was valued at $5,000. Now it's at $100,000. Craig, this is not the, I mean, we had the dot-com bubble, the housing bubble. At least we know where the next bubble's coming from. Yes? No?
Well, and I'm here today to present my brand new form of currency, GregCoin. GregCoin is worth $200 billion. I have one available. It's going fast, and if you don't act now, you're gonna miss out. I do accept Bitcoin for payment.
Send your cabillion to P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls, 54729. I promise I'll sign the back of the check and share it with you. Coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio, Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care is going to talk about making America quack again based on the people that Trump is surrounding himself with in the area of public health. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.